Vanessa Woods was an expert on chimps when she met her future husband, Brian Hare. He was studying bonobo apes in the Congo jungle, and he asked Woods to join him. Well, as it turned out, she fell in love with him and with the bonobos. She tells the story in a new scientific memoir called Bonobo Handshake. Anne Strainchamps asked what we should know about bonobos.
They're amazing. So, you know, I'll try not to gush, but so we do have two closest living relatives. We have chimpanzees and we have bonobos. They're both related to us by 98.7% of our DNA. The really interesting differences about bonobos is about their psychology and their social setup. So while chimpanzees are male-dominated, arguably like us, they have a lot of violence towards females, also like us, unfortunately. They have war, they have hunting, they kill their infants. So, you know... But they also have this really nice side. So they have empathy. We think they feel love. They definitely feel grief. But bonobos, they're kind of, I guess, the better side. What we could be. They are female dominated, which I think makes everything run better. And they have very, very little violence. There's hardly any violence towards the females. And their infants just get this really kind of dreamy childhood. So it would be great to be a bonobo. I would love to be a bonobo.
But how odd then that... In some ways, they're the good apes. Why are they so obscure?
Well, they have a lot of sex. I don't think it makes humans uncomfortable, huh? Well, it makes Americans, Australians, and Britons uncomfortable. The French love it. And as a matter of fact, if you go to France, they know what a bonobo is over a chimpanzee. But, you know, bonobos, they have a lot of sex. They have lesbian sex. And, you know, if you look at the sort of furore against Proposition 8 in California, you can understand why, I guess, an animal that looks so similar to us, and they really do, bonobos spend a lot of their time bipedal, why that would make us very uncomfortable.
So here you were heading into one of the world's most unstable, dangerous regions to study the roots of human cooperation in bonobo apes. That must have seemed... At the very least, ironic.
It is very ironic that the world's most peaceful ape lives in the most world-torn country. Yes, it was.
What was your first introduction to the bonobos?
My first kind of interaction with them was when we were doing our experiments. Like you say, we were studying cooperation, and this bonobo called Gokongo, his little 5 or 6 year old bonobo, and I'd worked with chimpanzees before, and when chimpanzees do an experiment, they are so focused. They are laser beam. They just, you know, they want the peanut or the grape or the banana or whatever reward you're going to give them. And Gokongo would absolutely just refuse to do the test until I touched his penis. And, you know, it was, I was like, this is really not what I signed up for. And I'm looking at Brian, and Brian is like, I don't know what's going on either. And Gokongo is like squealing and screaming and screaming. And he's just like, touch my penis, like waggling it in front of me. And I'm like, no, I'm not touching that. That is not part of scientific protocol. This is not in my method sheet. Like, no. And yeah, eventually.
So did you?
Yeah, I had to. He made me. It was like nothing was going to get done. I was really hot and tired. I'm like, fine. I guess, you know, girls, they give in a lot like that. But, you know, after a while, you just kind of get used to it. You're like, hi, you know, pat. They just want to say, hi, how are you? I'm okay, you're okay. We're not going to hurt each other. It's not a big deal for them. And after you work with them for a while, it's not a big deal to you either.
Is it related at all to the nature of bonobos? I mean, could you say they seem to be basically pleasure-loving rather than, I don't know, warlike?
Well, see, this is the thing. Sex in bonobo is a mechanism to reduce tension in their group. So the reason why they are able to have this really peaceful society is that when someone gets angry or tense, then they just kind of have sex. I guess what we can take out of that, and oh my God, like in every interview I do, I get an email saying, does that mean we should all be having sex like bonobos? And I say, no!
It's giving me a new picture of what anger management and conflict resolution could
be. That is not going to happen. And, you know, the White House is never going to look like that, and you know, our offices are never going to look like that. I mean, thank God. But I mean, the important thing that, you know, we should be taking away is that so bonobos have a mechanism and we don't, because, you know, for all our intelligence and for all our things, we still live in a very, very violent world. There are 7 conflicts going on right now that are killing more than 1,000 people a day. I mean, you know, the murder rate in America is much more than we'd like, and you're more likely to be killed by another human being probably than anything else. But bonobos, they don't have that. They're not going to be killed by one of their own species, and that's something we really need to figure out.
Now, one of the other remarkable things about bonobos is that they live in a female-dominated society. And the center where you were working actually sounds sort of female-dominated, too, with these women in charge who were called the mamas. Can you tell me about them?
Oh my gosh. So they run the nursery, which means they run the center of the world. So at Lolea Bonobo, it is an orphanage for baby bonobos who've been orphaned by the bushmeat trade. So their parents get killed for meat. They're like clinging to their dead mothers. So, you know, these bonobos turn up, they're dehydrated, they're malnourished, they're sick and they're terrified. And if they don't have some kind of contact, they just die. And so these four human mothers take the bonobos, they become their substitute mothers, and basically they're there, like, you know, it's constant contact. And a result of that is that when these bonobos grow up, these mamas are still the authorite figure in their life. And so when an adult bonobo gets sick, it's the mamas who go out in the forest to find them. You know, if a really big male needs to get his shot, it's the mamas that come and, you know, hold his hand and calm him down. So they are incredible women.
Inevitably, there were bonobos you grew to love who died. Those are some of the most heart-wrenching moments in the book. And not just because of the grief that you and the other caretakers felt, but because of the bonobos' grief.
Yeah, that's, I think, something that we're really coming to find now. I mean, there's been reports of chimpanzees mourning their dead, and because there are, believe it or not, some people who don't believe that animals can experience grief. And when you see these bonobos, when they lose someone they love, it is very, very clear, and it's awful.
What was the most profound or most remarkable example you know of a bonobo grieving for a dead friend?
I think it was, there was this bonobo called Mimi, and she was the alpha female, and there was this little boy, Lopopo, who died, and it was really weird because, like, Mimi didn't even like the little boys because, you know, she's the alpha female, you know, she liked the other females, and, you know, it was absolutely incredible. It was when Lopopo died, the keepers were trying to move his body, and, you know, they came with these long sticks to try and get the body away, and she would not let them. She would not let them take the body. She threw herself over the dead body and was screaming and pushing the sticks away. And for this tiny bonobo, I mean, she was just, I guess she was like, you know, 4 or 5 feet tall. She weighed like 33 kilos. And for her to see all those huge javelin-like sticks just coming towards her must have been incredibly frightening. And then the vet turned up with the dart gun, which it looks like a gun. And, you know, the last thing all of these bonobos saw before their mothers were shot is a man with a gun. And she still wouldn't leave the body. And everybody was crying. And she was just holding the body. And then, you know, in the quieter moment, she would swaddle away the flies and she would groom and kiss him. And it was so shocking and so moving. And I'll never, ever forget it. And, you know, if anyone wants to see a video of this, it's on bonobohandshake.com. Just go to the videos and the sequence is there.
Does hanging out with bonobos, spending time with them, change people? I mean, it clearly changed you.
That's right. I wrote the story as a memoir. I mean, it's not really the usual thing for a researcher to write about their subject in such a personal way. But that was really what bonobos did. And I think that we all really have these dark moments when we wonder what's going to happen to us as a species and where we're going and if there's any hope for us. And for me, especially being in Congo and hearing the stories of my friends and all the horrible things that had happened to them, that bonobos really became this beacon. They're there and they're living and they're this symbol of what we could be. They're the evidence that all is not lost, because for all we share with chimpanzees, I mean, we share the same amount with bonobos too. So they're the hope for humanity, I think, if that's not too strong.
Vanessa Woods is a research scientist at Duke University and the author of Bonobo Handshake, a memoir of love and adventure in the Congo. She spoke with N. Strange Chimps. To see videos of the bonobos or to find out more about the Lolea Bonobo Sanctuary, visit our website at ttbook.org.